All right, now today we're going to start with the lab, because the hardest part of doing this lab, this exercise, is waiting on the electrophoresis to run. Because once you set it up, it's just a matter of letting the thing sit there for up to an hour. And then when it's done, that's when you can look at it. So it doesn't make sense to do the lecture first and then wait. We'll get set up on the electrophoresis, and once everyone has started on that, waiting on it to run, that's when I'll give you the lecture. That way we can get out of here a little earlier than we would otherwise, but it'll still take a while to do all this. Now, we've already done part one last time, right? You prepared your samples. That was tough. Now we need to actually do the electrophoresis. So we're doing part two, running the gel. And the gels have already been made for you. So if it tells you to make a gel, I can't. No, I guess it does assume that the gels are being made, so that won't confuse you. The gels are up here, though. And each gel is in its own little plastic case. Alright? Keep it in the plastic case, because that plastic case will then go into your electrophoresis chamber. The bottom part. It'll sit right in here before you add the buffer. But let me show you what one of these things looks like. You've already seen pictures of them, basically, but this is the chamber. Now, notice it has tape on it. You need to take that tape off before you use these things, but keep the gel in the plastic thing. Put the entire plastic cartridge into the chamber, and it's really important which way you put this in here, right? It has to be the right direction. Notice that you have wells on one end only. The wells are the little depressions where you're going to put your samples. How are you going to load these gels? Yes, you want your wells to be associated with the black electrode. The black one is negative. And why is that? Why do you want to do it that way? Because DNA is negative, therefore when you turn on the power and create the voltage between the red and the black, the DNA is going to want to move toward the opposite charge. It's going to move toward the positive electrode, which is the red one. So if you put it the wrong way, you're going to force it just off that edge immediately, and it'll be a worthless gel. So make sure you do that, and make sure you take the tape off. The buffer that it's talking about, remember I talked about TAE a couple times ago? The TAE buffer is in that big jug. So you need enough of that to actually completely cover the gel surface. Notice that the chamber has a little stand in the middle. That's where the gel goes. And then there's a deeper well on either side of that, on either end of it. Basically, what you're going to do is just fill one of those deep wells with TAE buffer and keep pouring it in until it goes over the surface of the gel and fills up the other one. In the end, you'll have liquid, the TAE buffer, all the way over the surface of the gel, about a millimeter over the surface of the gel. Don't have the surface of the gel be not wet. Okay? If you don't have that completely covered, then you won't get good current, electrical current. So the thing won't move as fast. It'll take even longer to do. The power supplies should be set up for you. If they're not, they're easy to set anyway. We're going to run these at how many volts today? 100 volts. So they should probably already be set up for 100 volts, but if they're not, just use the controls in the front. Make sure that they're plugged in the right way, too, because even if you place your gel in the correct way, but you reverse the leads on the power supply, that's the same thing as putting the gel in backwards. So make sure red is with red, black is with black when they're plugged in. Okay, that running, that's pretty straightforward, but you also have to properly load the wells. And so this takes good, non-shaky pipetting to be able to do this. Follow the instructions on how much you're putting in each one, and make sure that you're putting each one into the right lane, the correct lane. Right? That's why it has lanes 1 through 7 listed the way they do. Notice that that first lane is for the lambda standard. That upside down V looking thing is a Greek lambda. Okay, the lambda standard is over here. And it's labeled just as it is in the book. Hindi 3 lambda standard. Don't confuse it, though, for sample loading die, which is the same exact kind of container. Pay attention to what you're doing. What is the lambda standard? Does anyone know? It is a combination, it's a mixture of DNA of known sizes. So when you put that mixture into that first well and then run the electrophoresis, that mixture of different size fragments, each fragment's going to go at different speeds, so it's going to form what I called a ladder before in that first lane. So that's just to show you that ladders are made. We really wouldn't even need it in this experiment, to tell you the truth, but we're doing it just to show you what a ladder looks like and how it's made. And make sure you're using the correct volumes. Not every one of these uses the same volume of stuff, I don't think. No, the lambda is only 10 microliters. So we'll run out of that stuff if you do 20. If every group does 20 microliters. Don't do that. Okay, then 2 through 7 are the crime scene and the six suspects. All right? Make sure you get the crime scene and the six suspects of your own group. That's why you labeled them last time. They're up here in whatever order you, or they, whoever worked on them, put them in. So you might have to hunt around for your specific ones. But the loading die, the stuff that I said you could confuse with the lambda standard, it's this greenish stuff. That needs to be put into the mix as well, which is what, where is that in here? That's on number 2. You're putting sample loading buffer, SLB. It's called sample loading die up here, but it's the same stuff. The reason that, why do we put that in there? So that you can see it during the actual trial. The DNA fragments that you'll eventually see as bands in the lanes, those will be invisible until you look at them under ultraviolet light. So you won't know how far things have moved unless you have something visible to see moving as well. Well, the dye is going to be visible, plus the dye particles are smaller than any piece of DNA you're going to have in there. So it's going to be winning the race. We call that the dye front. Right? If each sample well has some dye in it, then you'll see a line basically move, this greenish-bluish line move, and it's going to be ahead of all the DNA behind it. So the idea is to let this run long enough so that the dye doesn't go off the edge, but you want it to get close to the edge, because the more you let it run, the more the DNA fragments will separate out, so you'll see them individually. Okay, so that's the rationale. Go ahead and carefully set that up, but make sure you don't lag behind, because I'm not going to start the lecture until everyone is ready, which means you're going to have to wait for everyone anyway. Okay? So don't try to race through it, but don't sit here reading the book not knowing what to do. Get on it. Okay.